This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
And I am not Carol. Carol's enjoying some time off. My name is Mike Morin, her partner of the Carol and Mike duo. It is Food for Thought, brought to you by Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, Bedford and Londonderry, IntegrityFit.com, your coaching solutions company. And, of course, the guy, the man, the legend, The Rock. Rocco will be here Monday with his usual segment from Integrity Health. Also, Red Arrow Diners, Carol's Places, Manchester, Milford, and now the brand new one in Londonderry with the drive-through window. You can see it right from the highway. That's 93 at exit 5. It is redarrowdiner.com for a website. Get some more information there. Welcome, everybody. 107.7 WTPL, The Pulse. We talk food. We talk lifestyles. We talk to a lot of interesting people, and that will be the case today. Let me give you a rundown of the schedule. So here's the deal. After a little chit-chat for me and a little, just what's happening in the food news world, we'll slide into our comedy cold cut section today, and it's all about bottled water. Boy, it's one of those things, when you hear these comedy guys, you'll realize that, yeah, we're paying for something that typically costs almost nothing, and it's very, very funny, the angles that I have. 1, 2, 3, 4 different comedy selections for the comedy cold cuts. That's coming up right around 12:30 or so. In the 1 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Kat Palmer. She is the lifestyles and food editor of the Nashua Telegraph for her first appearance on The Pulse, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. So Kat Palmer will join us talking about, good places to eat in southern New Hampshire. I mean, this state has really turned into a food eat destination for a lot of people. Still, you got places like Boston and New York and Philly and Washington, Chicago. But you know what? Manchester has nothing to be ashamed of. Lots of good restaurants. We'll talk with her about that and other food-related stuff. Last weekend, it was the Granite State Brewers Association Summerfest. It was the big beer bash at Arms Park, and this was their second one. Last year was really successful. This year, over the top happening. And we need to find out how much money they made for the New Horizons folks, the Soup Kitchen. So we'll talk to Bill Herlicka very briefly. He's from White Birch Brewing and president of the Granite State Brewers Association. Check in with him at about 1:30. Shortly after that, we'll talk to a guy that will bring back some memories from last summer. How many of you remember? Well, how could you forget the big Market Basket brouhaha? It was RDS and his faction against RDT and his, customers and employees. It was really a soap opera. It was very dramatic. It was unprecedented in the world of business. The family-owned business that was formed essentially by the, the grandfathers of both these fellas, RDS, the bad guy, and RDT, who everybody was wanting to get, reinstalled into his position. There'd been a big struggle between RDS and the board of directors of Market Basket and RDT, who wanted to keep things like they were, very low prices, basically give a lot more money to the employees than, a lot of comparable businesses would. And I guess RDS felt that it was a threat to the bottom line and in terms of, how much money. And so, Big fight. So there's a book on it, finally. Somebody sat down, did all the research, and we're going to talk to Grant Welker. His book is We Are Market Basket, the story of the unlikely grassroots movement that saved a beloved business. Pretty interesting stuff. A lot of things that we need to talk about with him and will when he joins us at probably about 1:45 this afternoon, the last few minutes of the program. And joining me today, filling in and sashaying into the studio right now, is our good friend, Chef Patrick Hall, who, of course, is the program director of the Lakes Region Community College Culinary Program at Shaker's Table.
Hey, how are you?
Whoops. I always get the wrong microphone up. Yours says Michelle, which means they haven't even put my name on the little sticky button here that typically, so everybody knows which microphone has the volume control.
How are you? I'm sorry I'm running late, but hey.
Not a problem. I was just basically giving folks a rundown on today's show.
Oh, cool.
I'm very grateful that you're joining us as co-host today. I think that you're going to enjoy it. You probably didn't hear me mentioning our last guest of the day is going to be a fellow who just wrote the book, We Are Marketing. Market Basket.
Wow.
All about, I mean, I'm sure you kept up with all the soap opera of the Market Basket brothers, RDT and RDS last year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So he did his homework, and we're going to ask him to get to the bottom of all this, and that'll be at about a quarter of two toward the end of the program. Comedy Cold Cuts coming up in 15 minutes. Today it's all about bottled water. Are you a bottled water guy?
I am a bottled water guy, you know. Like I said, you know, you got to take a look at, you know, which kinds. It's kind of funny, you know.
Yeah, and I'm interested in your input on some of the things that gets added to, if you're even aware of that, when we get into the Comedy Cold Cuts in a few moments. All right, so we are right at the beginning of fair season here in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you're pretty busy, although I think you have kids, so they probably like hitting the fairs.
I love hitting the fairs. You know, I like to, you know, I would go in there and kind of play the song to like a, you know, the start of a race, because it's kind of like,
yeah, exactly.
It's an eating marathon for me. You know?
I don't think that New Hampshire has quite gotten to the point of some of the ridiculously deep-fried foods that you find in Texas or Minnesota. Those are the two states that stick out in my mind.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, it's you know, like a fried food extravaganza.
Oh,
you know?
Everything
from fried Snickers to, I've seen fried butter before.
Yes, that's happening. They're doing that, I believe, in Texas.
Yeah.
The guy that invented the deep fried butter is in Texas.
Yeah.
Deep fried Starbucks now is also another product.
I know. It's crazy because where I grew up in Western Mass, there's the Big E.
I don't
know if you've ever been there.
Sure, in Springfield.
And it's got so, you know, so huge with all sorts of like fried Twinkies to fried, you fried everything. So. So it's pretty crazy.
I talked to Carol about that, who owns the Red Arrow Diners, and she said they don't experiment too much because it really kind of messes up the grease pools or whatever they're called, the vats. Just because if you put a Twinkie in there, that's going to kind of mess up the flavor for what would normally be fries or onion rings or whatever.
And that's the other thing that you got to think of, too. Like when you're cooking and you have, a restaurant, you know, you're dropping fries in there, you're dropping fish. And, you know, so you have to actually kind of separate like a whole little fry later dedicated just to those type of items.
Yes.
Because if you can imagine being a customer, you come in there and I'm doing fried Twinkies and then you have fish batter right next to it. You know, you can imagine it's not going to be too pleasant.
A Twinkie encrusted piece of haddock may not be the worst thing in the world.
Hey, you know, I've seen like we talked about a couple weeks ago. You know, watching about the people eating all the shows where they eat all the crazy stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean, all right, Andrew Zimmer's.
Oh yeah, yeah,
right.
So hey, you know, who knows?
Well, so the fairs around the state, North Haverhill Fair is done already.
Okay.
Canterbury Fair is done up in your neck of the woods.
No kidding. I didn't even know that started so early.
Yeah. That was sad. That was last Saturday.
Really?
Yeah. I'm wondering about the fairs that are starting in mid to late July. Everything's not really in yet, you know, for the 4-H competitions and everything else.
It just seems like, you know, like right now, you know, people with gardens and stuff like that. And then, you know, it's just crops are just starting to go right now.
Exactly. So. Going on right now is the Cheshire Fair, which is it's in Swansea. Through this coming, let me see, the second is what, Sunday? Belknap County 4-H Fair is next, which is not next week. Yeah, it is next weekend, 8th and 9th, followed by the Cornish Fair, Lancaster Fair way up north, Hopkinton State Fair.
That's a big one.
That is a big one in Contoocook. My friend Matt Forrest, former radio guy, is the announcer, so if you're walking through there, you hear his voice. You'll say, that voice sounds familiar. Rochester Fair. And Deerfield Fair, of course, that's another huge one.
Yeah.
And finally, it wraps up with the Sandwich Fair.
Sandwich.
So I took a little, there's 11 fairs in the state, and I've only been to three of them.
Yeah, no, I've been to about two of those. Mm-hmm. I think the Hopkinton Fair and the Deerfield Fair I went to.
Yes.
And once again, the big ones. And like I said, you know, I start off with onion rings, and I end up with clam chowder bowl, you know, maybe a turkey leg in between, you know, so.
Yeah.
You know.
So. Those turkey legs, I just can't get myself to
eat those. No, I don't go for that one. Yeah.
I remember the first time I ever saw somebody eating those, this is 20 years ago, so I took my daughter, who at the time was 15, to Disney World in Orlando, where they have these like push carts filled with turkey legs. And I'm just looking at all these people sitting on the curb of Main Street of Disney, gnawing down like Fred Flintstone on these turkey legs, and I just wanted to barf.
Oh yeah, it's you know, first of all, I'm not a big turkey fan, you know.
Oh really?
Oh yeah, no, it's like I think it's been let's see, I want to say 20 years since I've actually had an old, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, at home. So I was just spending
really?
Years. Yeah. So I'm talking about, you know, we used to work at the Westin Hotel and it was just 60 turkeys and you're cooking them. And I'm telling you,
wow.
It's horrible. Yeah. So,
with your family, so you don't do turkey at your house?
Oh, no, we do turkey.
Oh, you do, but you've always been working.
I have somebody else cook it, you know, so.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's.
Did you ever deep fry one?
I did deep fry one year.
Yeah, people swear by them.
They do. It comes out very moist.
Only takes maybe an hour?
Yeah, probably about 20 minutes or so.
Oh, that fast. Huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it comes out really dark. So
does it?
Yeah, it depends on what you do with it and stuff. So.
Sure. I've done mine the last 2 years on my Big Green Egg, which is the smoker.
Oh, yeah. How does that work?
It's great. I mean, you put it in a, you know, a great big broiling pan. And I've got kind of a V-shaped rack so that it sort of kind of nests in there nicely. And you just prep it like you would. I brine it for, you know, about 24 hours the day before. So it's going to be nice and moist going in there. And surprisingly, it takes about the same amount of time or less at the same temperature,
no
which
kidding.
I think is 350.
I always see those grill. I didn't know if there was a grill or a smoker. And I've seen them around because they're big and heavy, right?
They are. Because the reason they're so heavy and the reason they help maintain the moisture content in there is it's got a ceramic-lined dome.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom part as well. So the very bottom part is the furnace, and that's where it's not quite the furnace. It's where all the ashes drop. But then there's a kind of suspended in the middle is a cast iron grate that holds the lump charcoal.
Yeah.
And then as it deteriorates, it falls through, and you clean that out like a flue in the chimney. And then the very top is you can do any number of things. There's a big ceramic plate setter that goes in there. So if I want to make pizza.
Oh, no kidding.
I can do a pizza better than I can in my oven at home.
No kidding.
Or I do 5-hour ribs a lot. But,
wow.
But the turkey I was kind of curious about. And here's the only thing that scared people is when you smoke a turkey, the dark meat turns pink.
Oh, no kidding.
So you think, that's not done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is. My thermopen says it's 180 degrees. It's done. So
yeah.
it's good. And, I mean, it really gives it a whole different flavor. The skin comes out great, too.
Oh, really? No kidding. Do you use wood charcoal or regular charcoal?
I use something called lump charcoal, which is not briquettes. There's no chemicals in it. What they do is they get whatever kind of wood, you know, you want to have, and it's initially burned. It's burned in a kiln.
Yeah.
And then they take it out before it's completely gone, and it's like it's all black and very porous. So it fills with air very easily, which makes it catch very quickly.
Oh, no kidding.
You just need one of those little wax squares
to
kind of get it started. Or I use twigs from the woods behind the house. And it doesn't take long, and the whole concept of that is there are two places where air gets in. There's underneath, and then there's the chimney top, which creates an endless cycle of air. So depending on how hot you want your fire, you just set your little doors accordingly.
Oh, no kidding.
And on most days it's good. The windier the better,
because
it's going to cook faster because there's a lot more air going
in
there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in the winter I found it's a little more challenging because the heat escapes. It just blows off the part that holds in for some reason, and it takes longer to do my ribs or everything else in the colder weather.
Yeah,
so.
I worked for a restaurant, and it was a 5-star restaurant, and mm-hmm. we used to cook with the wood charcoal,
yes.
Like you said, and I think it's the same thing as what we're thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
But it had a huge dome on it, and
yes.
these things got hot.
Oh,
hot
yeah.
Like 600 degrees.
Oh, yes.
And you're working
or
the
more.
Grill, and you're reaching in there, and it's like biting at your ears. And, oh, yeah. So,
yeah, absolutely.
We had a rotisserie on there, but the flavor is fantastic.
Yeah, it's unbelievable and very moist.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I say this every time, get yourself a good instant read digital thermometer, which I don't know if you use one of those, and I think I've talked to you about them,
but
I talked Carol into getting one, and they will not steer you wrong as far as getting the right temperature. But I mean, you're seasoned enough, and you know by feel.
Yeah, yeah, with steaks and things like
that.
You know, but you always have to have one for poultry.
Very
true.
You
know, for turkey or anything like that. So, and it's tricky. You want to cook turkey to like 165 degrees,
yes.
but you don't want to go too far over that because, you know, it'll dry out the turkey.
So I would take it out at 160 and let it just finish up at about 165.
Yeah, and that's a term in culinary that we call carryover cooking.
Carryover cooking.
Yeah, so you let it rest.
Wasn't that by Kansas?
Carryover.
Carry carry over a wayward son, though. That's a difference.
But yeah, you carry over cooking. So yeah, like you can do that with steaks too. And you just like you said, you take it out early, and then it ends up reaching its internal temperature. But it keeps it moist rather than dries it all out. You know, so it's one of those things that it takes a while to learn.
It does. And I've been doing pork at about 145 because. Yeah, pork is so much safer now than back in the trichinosis days.
I even do it at 130.
Do you really?
130, 135, yeah. 145 is usually well done when you start talking to meats.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just borderline.
So you're comfortable with, say, 135?
Yeah, 135, you know, so don't, I mean, don't say the sanitation people that, but, you know, if you want to eat it by yourself, yeah, absolutely, 135. And it's you know, just, like I said, it's just more, and like you said, today's standards of, you know, meat standards now, you don't have to really worry about trichinosis anymore and things like that. A lot of people, you know, kind of still live in the old school rules and overcook everything, you know. So,
right.
You know,
like our parents.
You know, so. Right. But yeah, no, those grill, that's interesting. I'll have to look at
it. It's fantastic. I mean, you cook for a living, so I don't know that you want to go out and spend, you know, because they're not cheap.
No.
But they will give you the results that you want once you kind of get the hang of it. And it wouldn't take you long because you're so professional to begin with. But would love it.
I got one of those grills that's the 3-in-1 grill. It's got the infrared.
Yes.
It's got the propane, but it also has the charcoal.
Oh.
And so I have this dome because you mentioned pizza before.
Yes.
I have this dome that you put right on top of that, and I start doing the wood grill, and then you do wood grilled pizzas. It's a pizza stone, and then you probably might have seen it.
How big is it?
It's
the stone itself.
Yeah, about that big. It's a big dome, and it works. Excellent.
Yeah.
I mean, we did grilled pizzas the other day and people were just, you know, raving over them. So, I'm always trying to find, I probably have every gadget known to mankind, you know, as far as kitchen gadgets and grilling and stuff like that, you know. So.
And you still like cooking at home?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I do it all the time. One of my favorite gadgets. Remember those, was it the ROM Papil, the set it and forget it, you know, the little rotisseries? I use that thing all the
time. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
God, he made a ton of money on
that. I think that is probably the best, you know, like as seen on TV things, I think that's the best.
Interesting.
Thing, you know, out of cooking wise.
And it's lasted a long time?
Oh, yeah. I still have it today.
Hmm.
And it still works like a champ. You know, it's like a little small, you know, rotisserie.
Yeah, right.
And you
do a couple of stuffer roasters in that thing, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do like, you know what I like to do in those is keep Cornish game hens. Those are very nice.
And done quickly, I would guess.
Oh, yeah, about half an hour.
Is that right?
So, yeah.
All right, we're almost to the half hour point of this segment, so we're going to take a quick break. Chef Patrick Hall of Lakes Region Community College, my co-host today. He'll be joining me for each of the Thursdays in August.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be here. Absolutely.
Very happy to have you along, Chef. And I'm Mike Moore, and Carol Lawrence is away for the weekend, and we're going to come back with Bottled Water as the topic on Comedy Cold Cuts. You're listening to Food for Thought, 107.7 The Pulse, WTPL.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
We're glad you're here with us today. It's Mike Moore and Carol Lawrence of Carol and Mike is away. She'll be back on Monday. Food for Thought on the Pulse 107.7 WTPL is brought to you by Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought, and Kalen Company. Also, New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought. NewEnglandCoffee.com. Chef Patrick Hall joining me as co-host today in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll be talking with Kath Palmer, who is the lifestyles, life and food editor of the Nashua Telegraph. We don't typically reach down to that part of the state too much in terms of talking about food, but she knows it. She's been living it for many years, and she's also the person I send my every other week column to. So it'll be good to have her on the air. And we'll also be talking to the president of the Granite State Brewers Association at 1:30, Bill Herlicka, for just a few moments of White Birch Brewing.
Good.
Because I want to find out how they did last weekend with the big beer fest.
Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing that, you know. So that's great beer. Have you ever tried?
I actually have not. And here's the funny thing. Bill was my next door neighbor for 6 or 7 years that I lived in Hooksett. Never met the guy.
No kidding.
Now, I mean, our houses were separated by a big lot that had trees, so you couldn't even see.
Yeah.
But technically, he was my next door neighbor, and I saw the White Birch beer trucks all the time in the neighborhood. Never met the guy until last Friday.
I would have been best friends with him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're a beer guy, I'm finding out.
Yeah.
And we'll also be talking with Grant Welker, who wrote the book We Are Market Basket, all about the craziness of last summer and the Market Basket brouhaha. Let's get right into Comedy Cold Cuts. It's all about bottled Cold Water today. And our first comedian on this topic is one who makes many appearances on Comedy Cold Cuts because most of his topics have to do with food. This is Jim Gaffigan talking about bottled water.
They got me that water here. I don't even drink it. I drink the bottled water. I feel silly buying it, though. When you think about it, it is water, right? How did we get to the point where we're paying for bottled water? That must have been some weird marketing meeting over in France, you know? Some French guy sitting there, he's like, how dumb do I think the Americans are? I bet you we could sell those idiots water. Someone's like, Pierre, the Americans are pretty dumb, but they're not gonna buy water. Oh, yes, they are. Let's just tell the Americans the water's from France. We bought it. I don't know if you're like me, when they first introduced bottled water, I thought it was so funny. I was like, bottled water? Because they're selling bottled water. I guess I'll try it. Oh, this is good. This is more watery than water. This has got a water kick to it. I was looking at a bottle. They have nutritional facts printed on the side. Kind of expect to turn the bottle, see a recipe. Yeah. That's how you make ice cubes, huh?
There you go, Jim Gaffigan and his take on bottled water here on The Pulse. It's our Comedy Cold Cuts section. Our next comedian, name is Brad Stein, and his, I guess, approach or angle on this is he's explaining bottled water to young kids because everybody who's, you know, probably under 30 grew up on bottled water,
oh,
but
absolutely.
Those of us older than that, yeah. it's a new thing. So this is Brad Stein and bottled water on The Pulse.
12-year-old boy that doesn't know any different but Barney. Never heard of Captain Kangaroo. Don't stop and question nothing. Just go along with the flow. Dang, I'm drinking water out of a bottle and they're looking at me like that's normal because this is all they've ever known. Why? This is where water comes from. Your entire life, you've been spending $2 for a bottle of water. Let me tell you about a bygone age of fairies and trolls. When I was your age, water came out of a magic faucet. Yeah, with two little wands that you could maneuver. And sometimes the water was hot, and sometimes it was cold. And you had to actually go to a cupboard and pull out something called a cup. And place it under the water faucet and let the water flow. And then you had to drink the water, but ooh, it was not conveniently locked into this perfectly round sphere. You had to balance your lips so it didn't pour out the side. And then when you went outside to play, the magic water fairies followed you and the water suddenly came out of the hose. You had water out of the hose. That's right, the hose. And by the way, any hose would do. That was the unwritten rule. I don't care where you were in the neighborhood. If you're thirsty, you could go to your neighbor's hose and drink out of it. That's what we had. Hose is there to be drunk from. Back in the day, you sucked it up. Not now. You ever seen hoses nowadays? Buy a new hose. You see what it says? Not fit for human consumption. They say that. Don't drink out of the hose. Can't use the water out of the hose to drink anymore. Apparently, it was cutting into the bottled water profits. I think all the bottled water people own the hose industry, because I'm sorry, my brother, but if you ever go to a bottled water plant, guess what they're filling the bottles up with? A hose. You don't care, you're just falling for it. Been wussified. A little bit, this is gonna be empty. I'm gonna cap it all up, and then I'll sell you a bottle of air. No, this is bottled air. It's not like that cruddy air that just hangs around the atmosphere. $2.50.
That's Brad Stein and his take on bottled water to a younger generation. So Chef Patrick, here's something I just plucked off the internet. Now, you too can snobbishly enjoy a beverage that has no taste variation for the majority of the population. The Merchant Hotel in Belfast has employed two water butlers who help recommend different varieties of ridiculously expensive H2O, according to Mashable.
Jeez.
The hotel offers a water menu. Yes, really. With beverages sourced from all over the world. Prices range from $7.70, which is way too expensive for bottled water, to $41.15, which is just simply stupid. Gavin Carroll, general manager of the hotel, told the Belfast Telegraph that premium water is the next big thing for seasoned palates. He says, quote, just like wine, the location where water is produced will impact on its taste and flavor. Whilst experts can differentiate between the mineral content and pH value of different types of water, discerning consumers are also increasingly demanding a wider choice of waters, close quote. The high-priced water menu joins the ever-expanding file of unnecessary luxuries for those with too much disposable income. Other examples include wine made with 22-karat gold and gold-laced caviar. I'm sure in your trade publications and things you see ridiculously priced
things. Yeah, they get all trendy. You know, it's funny because we're talking about, you know, the water. He's talking about the hose and things like that. There's a movie that we show at the school. It's called Tapped.
Okay.
And it's about the bottled water industry, and they talk about the ecological, you know, impact it has on the environment and stuff like that. And they're also talking about how bottled water is bad for you. People have been saying because of the plastics that you're drinking out of. And so one of my professors shows that all the time. It was funny because he's sitting there and he's showing his students, his things. He's like, I stopped drinking bottled water as he's drinking out of his plastic cup there.
Right.
I'm like, oh, great. You know, so, but, you know, you wonder how, you know, how bad is the impact of, like, bottle, you know, from
massive
drinking plastic, you know,
landfills and the chemicals that do leach into our toxins from the plastic, as you pointed out. And I prefer tap water at home.
Yeah.
Although you don't know how clean the tap water is.
I have a water filtration system.
Now, what's the format or what's the
It's a Culligan water filtration system. So I have this big barrel, and it's kind of a pain because
it's filled with salt.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
I have to drag. Literally, it takes about 12 bags.
Yeah, they're 40-pound bags.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and they're five. You know. So we used to have the company come out and do it.
Yeah.
But it was so expensive. I mean, every time they come out, it was like $200 and something for them to bring the bags. But you go to, like, you know, Home Depot or one of those places, and they sell the bags for like $4 or $5.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's just a pain, you know. And you know, as far as the impact on water, but you know, the water we're at, because we have a well.
You've got very hard water probably where you live, right?
It's hard water. So.
Well, the best water filtration system, I've only owned one, but now I'm hearing more and more people talk about them, is reverse osmosis.
Oh, really?
Which is fantastic. I never had water that tasted so good. And what was really weird is when I would put them in the ice cube tray, you know, you put water in the ice cube tray, when you would take the ice cubes out, they would have these long, pointy spires on them. I have no idea the physics of how that happens, but it was like a long needle that, almost like a stalactite, but it would be sort of at a 45 or 60-degree angle.
Inside the ice cube?
No, coming out of the top of the ice cube.
Oh, no kidding.
It was so weird, but the water was so good.
No kidding.
But here's the problem, and maybe they're better now. This was 20 years ago. It takes a long time to fill up a little reservoir because just of the process and everything it goes through. So you go through a lot of water, so, you know, what's the impact of that?
No, is it a big machine? Like, do you have it in your basement or something?
No, it was a countertop unit that was probably a little smaller than, like, a toilet tank, a little more condensed than that, and you had to change the filter and do that every so often. But we have to take a break because we do have more comedy cold cuts on bottled water just ahead. It's Food for Thought at 1243 1077 WTPL. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 1077 The Pulse. Food for Thought returns after these messages on 1077 The Pulse.
1247 1077 WTPL, talking about Disney World and in my opinion, disgusting turkey legs. Our producer Bob Lippman sends me a little message here on our computer feed. He says, I love the Disney World turkey legs. They are smoked. come out juicy and taste like ham. And about the size of ham, too, actually.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of other food to eat there, which is good. It's been 20, and yeah, you're right about that, Bob. I've been to Disney in 20 years. I loved Epcot, but that's a whole other show, a whole other topic. We're on bottled water right now, and we've got just a few moments left to get our last two comedic cuts in today. And this is Stephen Colbert from his TV show, The Stephen Colbert Report. As we know, Nestle's is into bottled water. I mean, they're into a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
And this is called Nestle's Natural Resource. On the Pulse.
And it's all thanks to Resource Water, an exciting new interpretation of two hydrogen and one oxygen atoms aimed at stylish, higher-income women. Because you don't want to be caught in the Hamptons drinking last year's water. And Resource Water is more than just refreshment, ladies. It will help you attain total electrolightenment. I would never drink Resource Water because I'm a dude. I only drink water meant for guys. That's called beer. But as a businessman, I do love all these innovations in bottled water marketing. Anything to keep Americans from drinking the commie water flowing out of their communal taps. Because I say it's a slippery slope from group drinking water to group showering. Okay? Not my wife, buddy. No. Resource Water is just the latest member of the Nestle family of emplasticized water, along with Arrowhead, Deer Park, Ice Mountain, Ozarka, Aquapana, Pure Life, and Zephyr Hills. Man, naming all those waters made me thirsty. I could go for a Poland Spring. And Poland Spring. Folks, with these products, Nestle is hoping to corner the demographic that marketers crave. Carbon-based life forms age zero to anything. It's all part of the vision of Nestle chairman of the board and non-canon Bond villain Peter Brabeck. Here he is explaining why our most priceless resource could use a price tag.
So Wasser ist natürlich das Wichtigste.
Water is, of course, the most important raw material we have today in the world. It's a question of whether we should privatize the normal water supply for the population, and there are two different opinions on the matter. The one opinion, which I think is extreme, as a human being, you should have a right to water. That's an extreme solution. Personally, I believe it's better to give a foodstuff a value so we're all aware it has its price.
There is no more comforting spokesperson than a calculating German-speaking man outlining his plan to control the world's water supply. And he is right. Ladies and gentlemen, a lot of German fans here tonight. And he's right. Without putting a price on it, how would we know we need water? Death? So keep up the good work, Nestle. At this rate, there won't be any body of water you can't put a price on, at least the ones that aren't already chock full of your plastic bottles. We'll be right back.
When does he take over? He's taking over for Letterman, isn't he?
I think so. Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty soon.
Yeah, August or September.
I think they said like 6 months or something. They said they're going to let the rest of the year play out, and then he's going to be taking over. So that's the last thing I heard.
Curious to see how edgy he will be.
Oh, I know.
Compared to what he was on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Stephen Colbert. Our final selection on Food for Thought, the comedy Cold Cuts today, is actually a music parody, and it's not by Weird Al. It's actually by somebody I never heard of, but this is an excellent song. And there was a song back, I want to say in the 30s or 40s, by the Sons of the Pioneers called Cool, Cool Water. And maybe when you hear it, you'll remember the melody. But this is Mark Bishop, his parody, and it's called Bottled Water.
Walk into any store, you pay a buck or even more for water, bottled water. If my grandpa were here today, he'd think that we were nuts to pay for water, bottled water. It falls for free out of the sky. The ocean's full, yet still we buy it by the case at Walmart. Bottled water. I'll never understand, but I'd like to meet the man who came up with the plan to bottle up and sell us water. I'm sure his wife said it'll never fly. He said, I bet it will, and here's a reason why. We won't sell just plain old water, but mountain spring, low sodium from Colorado or Canadian water. But where it comes from, no one knows. It could just be a garden hose in Detroit. I'm sure I'd be a millionaire if I could bottle up some air and call it bottled oxygen. Sell beside their bottled water.
Isn't that awesome?
That is crazy. It's, you know, it's funny because, you know, if we didn't have poor quality water, we wouldn't have beer. You ever know the history of beer?
No, I don't know much about it.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it, you know, because we got a beer guy coming up over here pretty soon.
Yeah, that's true. In about 35 minutes, Bill Herlicka will be joining us, update us on last weekend's Beer Fest and how much money they were able to give to New Horizons. Kath Palmer of the National Telegraph, food editor, will join us. We'll chat all things food and whatever else we throw at Kath. She'll be ready to knock it out of the park. No pressure, Kath. All that with Chef Patrick Hall, my co-host today. Carol is back on Monday. This is Food for Thought, hour number two, bigger and better than the last one, if that's humanly possible, on WTPL 107.7 The Pulse.